Hey, North Langley. Welcome, everyone here. Happy long weekend. I want to welcome all of you who are new to Christianity. Maybe you're new to church. And I just want to let you know, you have arrived on quite the Sunday. This is probably by far, maybe top three sermons that has received lots of feedback and interaction post-sermon. So have fun. Buckle up here. This is an interesting moment with Jesus as he encounters a man who was born blind. And there's a ton of conversation to be had today about what's going on in this man's life and what does it mean to live in a world of pain and what does it mean that God heals. So there's tons of questions here today, so welcome. And I want to begin with this question. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to good people? Some of you, as you watch the news, you watch Egypt Air, this airline, go down into the ocean, and you just go, what? Like, are we led to believe that all those people on that flight deserved that? Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, right off the top, I'd like to just let you know, I'm really not going to answer the question today. Boo. Then why'd you ask it? I don't think any human being on the planet could fully give you an answer to this question that would fully satisfy, that would dot every I, cross every T. I don't think it's possible. But today, Jesus will give us two ways not to answer this question. We'll unpack those in a moment, but I want to let you know that I'm going to focus specifically today on those who are living with a disability, physical or mental disability. You see, today the story is about Jesus and a blind man. And so really the large question, the big question today is why do bad things happen to good people? But the case study, so follow me here, the case study today is why people have to suffer with a disability. Hopefully that makes sense. And if you're new here, or if you're just kind of, you're here, maybe you don't have a disability, or you don't know anyone in your life who does, stick with us. Because this is massively important as we understand the character of God as we ask that question. Why do bad things happen to good people? So here's where we're headed. It's God's joy by grace to bring life to the world. It's God's joy by grace to bring life to the world. And God, we pray that you would fill this room with your truth from Scripture, the truth about your character. Who are you, God? Why do we see terrible things happen to people that don't deserve it? It doesn't look like they did anything to earn it. We don't get it. It seemed out of the blue. For some of us in the room, it's been something that we were born with. How did we deserve that? Lord, we're coming with these questions. Help us to see. Open our eyes that we'd understand your truth and your character. We love you, God. Come and move in the room. Amen. So if you are new to North Langley, we're walking through the story of Jesus. And the cool thing about that is that as we walk through his story, sometimes issues come up and you got to deal with them. Hard questions come up, and you have to wrestle with it. You know, you can't just jump around the Bible and only talk about the nice, cushy passages, right? So this is one of those. And we're listening to the story of Jesus in the Gospel of John, which is one of four books in the Bible that centers on the life of Jesus. And today, as we think about this issue of bad things happening in our lives, and as we specifically focus on disability, let's listen to Jesus. Verses 1 to 5. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming, when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So So Jesus and his disciples are just walking along, and they see a man blind from birth. Now Jesus and his gang just met the guy, and already they want to know who sinned. Who sinned? Who's to blame? Where can we point the finger? Well, at this point, Jesus is going to hit them, his disciples, and us, with two truths that we need to hear today. Two truths. Truth number one, your disability is not because of personal sin. Your disability is not due to personal sin. Listen to Jesus again. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. You see, the disciples are stuck in a certain worldview. The way they view the world is that this blind guy must have done something wrong. Or his parents must have done something wrong. Northangley, if you're a parent here today with a child who has a disability, listen to Jesus. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. Jesus is crystal clear. This is not the right way to view the world. This is not the right way to view the situation. I think there might be parents here today carrying around some hidden or not so hidden guilt about their responsibility for their child's disability. But I think Jesus would come alongside today and would love to set you free from that condemnation and guilt. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, says Jesus. We gotta listen to Scripture. Gotta focus on God's truth. Northangley, we tend to move away from the Bible. We move away from Scripture and we become influenced by a lie, and the lie is called karma. Now you might be here and you believe in karma, the doctrine of karma. Karma is a Sanskrit word used in Hinduism and Buddhism. And if you are here and this is part of your life and you believe in karma, I'd like to talk about this for a minute. One theologian, N.T. Wright, defines karma like this. Karma is the unstoppable chain of cause and effect running through the present life and into the future one. Let me explain. Karma implies that all the pain you have is your own fault. Whether in this life or a past life, you are to blame. You get what you deserve. So if you live in West Vancouver or White Rock on the ocean, and you are healthy and you learn lots of cash, you are simply reaping the good you have sown, probably in a past life, maybe when you were younger. Good for you. Pat yourself on the back. But if you're poor and you live in a slum, or you grew up in a war-torn country, or you were born with a disability, you must have done something to deserve it. Do we believe this? Now, just so you know, Christian theology, the church has taught, no, we don't believe that. We don't believe in karma. But if I were to go ahead and maybe try to think what you're thinking right now, you might be pushing back and you go, well, Matthew, just a second here. Well, to some degree, yes, right? Because the Bible, isn't the Bible clear that there are consequences for our actions? And I would say absolutely, absolutely, there are consequences for our actions. For those of us who choose a certain kind of lifestyle, our body will pay the price later on in life, right? We can all think of things in our life where we reap what we have sown. So, sow something good. Take your wife on a date and it leads to a good marriage, right? Got to remind myself of that. Eating too many Taco Bell burritos leads to indigestion. Cheering for the Vancouver Canucks leads to heartache. These are the things that just happen. Now, by the way, I'm a little bit of a neutral person when it comes to hockey, so I'm just observing. It seems to lead to heartache. Why would you choose to do that? There are consequences for our choices, right? So here's the deal. Please know, I believe that there are consequences for our actions. Some of the pain in our life is due to the sin in our life, okay? I believe that. And actually, a few weeks ago, we talked about sin and the importance of understanding sin. But here's the deal. Here's what I want to talk about today. Let me frame this so that you know where I'm going. Because if you miss this, you miss the entire sermon, okay? Today, I'm talking about those things where there doesn't seem to be a link. Follow me? A link between my action and the thing that happened to me. The tragedy that just strikes my family without any answers. The physical thing that's going on in my life that I came out of nowhere. I didn't know that this was happening in me. The disability I was born with. I mean, I was born like this. What are you going to blame me in my mom's womb or before and after a previous life? See, there are these things where the action and the thing that happened, there's not a link. And so what happens in those moments? The tragedies that we face. Is our answer karma? Karma is so popular today. We think of the John Lennon song, Instant Karma. Super catchy. It's a fun song. Instant karma is going to get you. Going to knock you off of your feet. Lennon sings of the karma that's always kind of looming around the next corner. It's just right there waiting to punch you if you do something wrong. Do we believe that? Think about the karma in that we see in The Sound of Music of all places, right? I mean, Sound of Music, really, when Maria, she's singing to the captain, they're so in love, and they wonder how they would ever deserve this, and they sing to each other, nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. So somewhere in my youth. The best service of all three today. Best ones, you guys. Well done. First service, nothing. Second service, a little. You guys nailed it. So somewhere in my youth or childhood, I must have done something good. Because here I am staring into your beautiful eyes. You know, really? So do we believe that our state in life is due to the sum total of our failures and good deeds? Again, have we actually thought this one through? Because if you actually think about it, it doesn't make sense. If anyone is sick, in poverty, suffering, has a disability, or is living in miserable conditions, the message of karma is clear. You did it to yourself. Karma is cruel. Think of a World Vision commercial. The faces of those beautiful children living in extreme poverty. And the message of karma is, you did it to yourself. You know, some previous life or something. You deserve it. You've no one else to blame but you. Think of a Special Olympics event. The faces of those beautiful kids with special needs. They're just amazing. But then the message of karma is, you deserve it. Side note, I've had the honor of spending numerous years of my life in camp settings and school settings and in private care home settings with children and adults with special needs. And this quote-unquote karma thinking breaks my heart. Because if you follow it through, there are implications to following it through. I would lovingly encourage you to take karma out of your vocabulary and out of your thinking. Karma is cruel. It's cruel, and it's just not true to the facts. I mean, if you have a brain, you can understand this. Some of the most loving people live in the slums around the world. Some of the most joyful people. Giving people, encouraging people, live in slums around the world. And some of the most rude people drive Mercedes and BMWs, right? So how does that work with karma? But there are also jerks in the slums and really amazing people who drive Mercedes and BMWs, right? The world's just complicated. It's not nice and tidy like that so that we can just say, quote unquote, I believe in karma, and somehow that just settles the debate. Karma is cruel. Jesus is not. And Jesus gives us a picture of the heart of God. It is a heart of love, a heart of grace, a heart of healing, and a heart of new creation. He's making things new. And so Jesus corrects his disciples. He says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, period. Okay? So truth number one, your disability is not because of personal sin. Well, let's move on to truth number two. Truth number two, your disability was not God's design. Now, upon first read of our passage, one might think that this man was blind because of God's will, that it was God's design to make him blind. Listen to the end of verse 3, John 9, 3. But this happens so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Okay, well, wait a minute. Did God make this man blind from birth for his glory? There are Christians who teach that kind of thing. Did God make this man blind from birth on purpose? It was God's intent. He's the creator. He's the artist as he was forming this. He did that on purpose? Okay, let's roll up our sleeves here for a minute. Let's really kind of dive into this. We have a Bible translation issue here in John 9, verse 3. Let me explain. The New Testament, it's written in Greek. And so in verse 3, we read the Greek words, alhina, which comes from two words, ala, but, hina, that, but that. The phrase is translated, but so that. Now you need to know that this is a clause that could begin a sentence or it could follow a sentence. Now I'm told it's used about 11 times in the New Testament, 4 one way, 7 the other. And it makes a big difference in how you use it. So follow me. And I'm going to have these on the screen. You'll see two different ways to translate this verse. Most of your translations use option A. Here it is. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that, there it is, alhina, the works of God might be displayed in him. So long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. But option B is a viable option too. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, period. Notice there's a period there. Option A, there's a comma, period. But so that the works of God might be displayed in his life, we must do the work of him who sent me while it is still day. Big difference. Can you see it? Look at the difference. Read it for yourself. Option A, God inflicts blindness on the man for his glory. Option B, Jesus doesn't give an answer for the origin of blindness. He's not talking about that. He says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, period. But let's heal this guy, because that's what God loves to do. God's in the healing business. Let's heal him. This is an opportunity for God to be glorified. Let's heal him. But so that the works of God could be displayed in his life, let's do the work of him who sent me while it's still day. Very different. I hope you can see that. Here is the big question then. Does God give disabilities to people to glorify himself? Or does God, keyword, allow disability in a broken world, in a broken creation, but then uses it for his good? Those are very different questions. Now, don't get me wrong. God is in charge. We believe in the sovereignty of God, that God is fully in charge. Nothing happens that he doesn't know about. God can do whatever he wants. But does God giving a disability to a person line up with his character? See, that's the question. Whenever you encounter an issue of translation in the Bible and you say, well, man, this period or a comma, I mean, it makes a big difference with how we understand God. You take a step back. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a step back and say, well, hold on. Well, what is God like? If we looked at all of Scripture, because we want to be people of the Word, people of the Bible, we want to look at all of Scripture and say, well, what is God's character? So let's go back in time here. We go back to the beginning when God made the world in Genesis chapter 1. That's going to help us. The book of Genesis reminds us that God did not create a world with sin, suffering, poverty, war, disability, violence, sickness, or death. Never once do you find that. He makes the world and he looks at all that he has made, this beautiful creation, including mankind. He says, it is good. It is good. It is good. It is good. Makes all the creatures and the land and the sun and the stars and the moon. And he says, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. Beautiful creation. But you don't find him creating suffering. He doesn't create poverty. He doesn't create war, disability, violence, and on and on and on. He didn't create any of it. It was not his will to give it to any of us. So Christians who would interpret John 9, saying that God, it was his intent to give this, it's his will to give this, need to be careful, because we don't see that in Genesis 1. What we see is this. The world, in Genesis chapter 3, turned away from God. In sin, the world turned away from God. Right? And we turned our backs to God. And at that moment, the world was broken. Now, the world is beautiful. I mean, just gorgeous. I mean, we live here in British Columbia. It's beautiful. It's amazing. But the Bible says something is off. That this world is not the way God intended it to be. Something is just off. It's broken. It's not working properly. And so all around the world, you see the places of brokenness. And so there's sickness, and there's pain, and there's tragedy, and there are things that happen, and it's really hard to understand. But the Bible says, and we see it in Genesis 3, that something is just off. Bad things just happen. The world has turned from God, and even though it's beautiful, it stopped working properly. But here's the deal. It has never, ever, ever, ever been God's desire, intent, will, design, purpose, or hope to give his creation disabilities. Not at all. So this is what I think Jesus is saying, if I could land the plane here. God did not blind this man for his glory, but I'm going to do what God has always loved to do. I'm going to make this man see. Because that's what God loves to do. And that's what I'm going to do. Now, some of us here in the room, you might be Bible keeners, and you know the word, and you've studied the Bible a lot, and you know the Old Testament really well. You might, if you're a real keener, start thinking of some verses that pop into your mind in the Old Testament about disabilities and sicknesses. And my encouragement to you is to read the Word of God carefully, in context. Read it correctly. For Jesus is the full radiance of God's glory. When we want to understand God, where do we look? We look to Jesus. Jesus never makes anyone sick. His entire mission is to heal. He shows up, says, the kingdom of God is here. And my job is to start healing. And he sets out to do that very thing. And he heals, and he heals, and he heals, and he heals. But then he goes to the cross, and he gives us the ultimate healing. He heals us of sin and death. It's beautiful. And so we see Jesus, he is the full radiance of God's glory. And so see, sometimes we understand God as the bad cop. You know, God is the bad cop that strikes people down. But then Jesus, he's like the doctor that fixes them. So they work really well together. You know, God strikes them down, Jesus fixes. That's not good theology. Why? Because Jesus is God. Jesus is God. He does what God loves to do. All throughout his life, he's going, I'm just doing what the Father wants me to do. I'm praying. I hear, the Father wants me to do this. That's what I'm doing. I'm in tune with the Father. I only do what the Father wants. The Father's not a bad cop. Jesus is doing what the Father wants. Healing, restoring, forgiving, showing mercy and grace, giving life to the world. So I would agree with theologian Gary Burge, who is a New Testament professor at Wheaton College. And he says this, God had not made the man blind in order to show his glory. Rather, God has sent Jesus to do the works of healing in order to show his glory. See, that's God's character. It's God's heart. That's what God loves to do. So watch his heart in action. Verse 6, after saying this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with his saliva. Kids, you in the room? This is a good story for you. He spit on the ground, made mud with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. The man came home seeing. Jesus is putting him together. Jesus is doing what God did in Genesis 1. Let there be light, and there was. And he'll do it in us. Whether it's in this life or the next, Jesus is committed to putting us back together. He's committed to put the world back in place. These old bodies will pass away, but God will give us resurrected bodies. So, in the role I'm in right now in life, as your pastor, I would encourage you, beware of the Christian who comes to you and says, your disability is because of your sin. Or God made you disabled for his glory. Beware. Instead, those of you born with a disability, or your parents of a child with a disability, hear the good news. Your disability is not because of personal sin. Your disability was not God's design. No, hear the gospel. The gospel says this: we receive what we don't deserve. At the cross, Jesus died for us and rose again 3 days later to give us life. We were blind, but now we see because of the cross and resurrection. We didn't get what we deserved. Instead, God, it's his good pleasure to continue to pour grace upon our lives. That's why we call it the good news. I have been healed. I have received new life because of grace. That's it. As U2 says and sings, grace, she travels outside of karma. Grace operates outside of karma. Grace is the love of God at the cross and resurrection given for the healing of the world. Grace is the love of God at the cross and resurrection given for the healing of the world. See, that's God's heart. He just wants to give, to heal, to restore, to bring new life. And so grace says this, good news. You didn't get what you deserved, which was death. Good news, you received life when you didn't even deserve it. New life because of Jesus. So North Langley, next week we're going to go deeper into the story about this man who was healed of his blindness. There's a whole story to tell about this guy's life. There's so much more to say, but today we wanted to pause here at the beginning that some of us might experience some healing when it comes to our relationship with God. You see, it's God's joy by grace to bring life to the world. And so here's the deal. Let's get practical. Those of you born with a heart condition, those of you born with blindness, deafness, or mutism, those born with Down syndrome or Fragile X, those born with spina bifida, those born with a speech disorder or ADHD, those born within the autism spectrum, those born with schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, or anxiety, depression, those with dyslexia or dyspraxia, those born with cerebral palsy, those who grew up suffering with seizures, those born with muscular dystrophy, those of you fighting a battle with cancer, all of you with Huntington's, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, or cystic fibrosis, and to all here today who have experienced, maybe it's not an illness or a disability, but an unexpected tragedy in your life, God is for you. God is for you. He's on your team, and he will heal you. It's his heart to heal you. It's not an if he'll heal you. He will, whether in this life or the next. It is his joy to heal you. It's what he does. It's God's joy by grace to bring life to the world. And so how are we called then to live in this in-between time when we're not yet healed? And when we're still in pain because of the tragedy that hit our family or whatever it might be, how do we live in this in-between time? Listen to Jesus. He says this, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but so that the works of God might be displayed in his life." In this time where you are not yet healed, and when you are experiencing pain and tragedy, may the work of God be displayed in your life. May he turn it into something absolutely beautiful. That your suffering would be turned into a piece of art for his glory. What Satan would use to discourage you and bring pain into your life, that you would allow the maker to form you, to sculpt you, that the work of God would be displayed in your life. So whether we are healed or not in this life, may the works of God be displayed in us. Whether or not we find healing, may the work of God be displayed in us. Whether or not we get an answer to our suffering in this life, may the works of God be displayed in us. Amidst the tragedy and the pain, may the work of God be displayed in us. And trust me, the works of God are being displayed beautifully in all of you whom I know at North Langley, who have had to live with a disability, who have faced some kind of sudden illness. For those of you who have faced a terrible tragedy that you didn't see coming, each of you are beautiful children of God, because you have taken your pain and your challenge, and you've given it to the Father who loves you deeply, and he's making it beautiful. He loves you. He is for you. He hasn't abandoned you, and a crown awaits you as you run the good race. He did not design this for you, and this is not because of your sin. We simply live in a broken world, and we don't get it, but God is for you. And so I want us to listen to Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or disability or tragedy? I'm adding to Paul here. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now listen to him. He says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you hear that? The love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is his good pleasure to heal you. So keep running the good race. Whether or not you find an answer in this life, keep running the good race. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. For those of you who experienced tragedy this year, nothing can separate you from the love of God. For those of you who experienced terrible loss this year or unexpected grief, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Bad things happen to good people, but nothing can separate you from the love of God. And all of you with disabilities, listen up. One glorious day, you will feel the hands of Jesus upon you. One day you'll feel mud upon your skin. One day you'll kneel down in that great pool of Siloam, and you'll hear the Master say, "Wash. Wash. And one day, you will see." It's God's joy, by grace, to bring life to the world. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for all of the good things that you give in our life. Thank you that even though there is one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, that you've come to give life and life to the full. And so we believe that you are for us, that you love your children, that you are actively redeeming the world. And so we praise you. As the song just sung, we praise your name. We lift you high. We thank you for what you're doing. And in this place of tension, as all of our answers are not, all of our questions are not answered, Lord, God, I pray that you would meet us in this place, that you would Fill us with your hope that you're not done with this world and that you're making all things new. And so we place our hope in you. Thank you, Jesus. May you be honored and glorified. Amen. God bless you all, and we'll see you next week.